Chapter 6, which can be found on page 301, 302.
Three?
Yes.
In the
English numbers at the bottom. Yeah. What?
I thought we were going to get us a code.
No, we're in Shaihagamona.
No, so I'm on my other book.
Yes, indeedy. Sorry. Okay, in this chapter 6, he wraps up God's perspective of creation. And chapter 7, he starts our perspective of creation. So, and basically what he's been saying up until this point, he's been talking about how Hashem creates the world and a little bit of godliness which is necessary for the creation of the world, and that Hashem used various attributes in the creation of the world, and that Hashem and Elohim, even though they are two algorithms, perform a single function. Okay, you got two things going on. You have the life which is given, and you have the containment of the life to hold back any type of revelation. But the whole purpose of the containment is so that there be revelation. And therefore, we say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's all one thing. Even though you've got two things going on over there, it's all one thing. See, Hine, Shem Elohim, who Shem Midas HaGvur VaHatzimtzum. The name Elohim, as soon as you say Elohim, what is that? That's containment, contraction. Because what's the purpose? The word Elohim, the word Elohim means judges. As I've written in a pasuk in Shoftim Kitetze, whatever, is Ad Kishiyava Elohim, until you will bring them before the judges. There the word it says is chol. It doesn't mean God over there. There it means judges. So what does a judge do? A judge decides you're getting it, you're not. This is what the name Elohim does. It decides this is how much godliness is going to be meted out for this organism to function as an organism. It is also, the word Elohim is a numerical value of the word for the nature. Because what is nature? Okay, can we give a good definition, Webster's definition of the word nature?
I can't without using Hashem's.
I don't want Hashem. I want the word definition of the word nature.
Well, I can't use without using natural.
And you can't use the word natural either.
I know. The expected order of things in the physical world.
Basically, yes. Okay, all the rules and thereby. You have to use like the word rules, because everything's like, all things like rules.
Right.
Okay. What would be the opposite of nature? Don't say unnatural.
I know.
The unexpected.
Meaning?
Things that break the rules.
Things which are outside of, quote unquote, the normal.
The possible.
Okay, say that in one word.
Normal.
What's outside the possibility of, based on the rules?
No, you're saying normal operation would be nature. So what's the opposite of that would be?
The unexpected. The opposite.
Which is what?
Breaks the rules, the order.
What do you call it? Miracle.
Miracle, yeah.
Nature. Okay. So in other words, what's nature? Nature is a miracle. We talked about this before. Nature is a miracle that happens twice.
Okay.
Because the sun rising up this morning at, I think, 6:54 was the earliest you could put on tefillin. So I think it was like 7:50 was sunrise this morning. Okay, so the sun rose this morning at 7:50, and we haven't had went actually on my little app on my phone, and it told me this 3 days ago that this is what the time was going to be for sunrise this morning. Okay, and now what has to happen throughout the entire universe to facilitate that in Detroit on December 17th, every single year, the sun will rise at 7:50. There's a tremendous amount of things that have to go on to facilitate that.
Sure.
And yet, we call it normal.
Nature.
That's nature because we predict it. But it's like you couldn't get...
Because it seems to be happenstance.
Yeah, it's... I don't know about happenstance, but it's because it's predictable.
Right, correct.
Set in motion.
It's predictable.
It seems predictable, yeah.
But it has... When you think about what goes on in order for sunrise to be, It can only be through a direct intervention of a supreme being we're calling Hashem.
Constant
intervention, yes.
Making sure that everything's just running to the point where you're not even off by seconds.
Right.
Okay, how much does the sun have to slow down to be off by a couple of seconds? Not very much. You're talking the Earth turning at 1,000 miles an hour. Let's say the Earth kind of like it's, and it's not a perfect sphere. So let's say that it kind of like did it.
You got 998 for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you got 1,001.
Yeah.
Did that for a couple of weeks. What would happen? Okay. And it messed all the calculations. Never happened.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it's just so amazing when you think about it.
It's a big planet, though. It takes a lot to make it change.
It's
expected order. It's set in place with a lot of mass. I mean, Hashem does it, but if a non-believer looked at it, it takes a lot of energy to change anything.
All right, you say that, but I just read a statistic this afternoon in the, pardon the expression, the Holy Bathroom Reader.
Okay.
Yeah. that Shimon Levy 9 comet that hit...
Jupiter.
Jupiter, a few years back.
Yeah.
It supposedly the meteor was about 3 miles across, and they gave some huge weight, 340 tons or something, or 340,000 tons or something.
Yeah.
And it said they estimated it made a hole in Jupiter larger than the Earth.
Okay.
So you know you say this is a big planet and whatever, and but you know. Everything in perspective. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Still a big planet.
Sure, of course it is. Of course it is. But I mean,
planet's a big massive. It's a big rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of mass, and it has a motion that Hashem set it for, and it's to change.
And we call it all natural.
All natural.
All natural.
Just pretend,
all natural. But it could.
That's a Simpson.
It could be nothing. Yeah.
That's a Simpson. But we know that even though it still takes a lot of energy to change.
Correct.
To
that's what Elohim does. Elohim makes it all natural.
Yes, it does.
Because Elohim is Elikus. Nature is Elikus.
Yeah.
It's just that it comes down in such a rigid way, in such a structured format, that it's we don't even notice it. You can go your whole life never thinking about it.
Well, we can imagine that we are here, that it's all but happens on its own.
Yeah.
All just
steady state.
Yep. Lefi Shemaster Haor Shalamaila, because the name Elohim, its function is to conceal the light which is coming from above, Hamahava Umachaya Ha'ilam, which is bringing the world into existence and enlivening it. And it makes it do it. It does it such a good job. It makes it look like the earth is conducting itself the derech ha-teva, like it's doing it by itself. Okay, it's just things happen this way. Why is there gravity? Because the earth is spinning. And why is the earth spinning? Because of the gravitational pull of the sun, 93 million miles away. Yes. And that's
not why. That's why it's orbiting.
Yeah.
The spin's a whole different problem.
The center of the Earth over there, and the polar, right, magnetic, right. Magnetic polar things going on over there.
Right. Some planets rotate the other way.
Right.
And right. I think only one planet rotates the other way. Uranus is the only planet that rotates the wrong way.
But the poles they don't have a good understanding of why planets rotate.
But which one is actually the axis is perpendicular to us?
That's
one of them is perpendicular.
I think
to
it's
us.
Neptune. Where its axis is like this.
Correct.
Uh-huh. It has an east-west pole.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Solar system's cool.
So
there's no uniformity.
Right.
Okay.
Which is unnatural.
Right. Okay.
Once you've got it all figured out,
there's no two planets that are even close.
We just thought
and this is the way all things go, and we can predict all these things. We talk about them, and everything's moving and all. It's all happening, and it's all very natural. V'shem Elohim, hu magin v'nirtek l'shem avaya. The name Elohim acts as a shield and a cover over the name of Havaya. L'halam ha'or v'hachayas ha'nimshuk m'shem Havaya, v'mahavu ma'ayin l'yesh. To conceal the light and life which is drawn down from the name Havaya, which brings into existence from nothing to something. Why is that? Why do we need that? So that the this great godliness should not be revealed to us creatures, and if it because if it was revealed to us creatures, we would be nullified out of existence. We would no longer exist. Okay, and the example for that is like a small flame that's getting sucked into a big flame. Okay, there's a pull there that goes on between the two flames, and it loses its identity as a small flame once it's incorporated into the big flame.
Okay, I want to ask a question on revealed.
Yeah.
In this case, what does revealed mean in this case?
What's your question?
Well, are we talking about revealed in
if it would be that the godliness would be revealed, we would not be able to exist. Meaning, if there was no containment of the godliness, there would be too much godliness, too much revelation,
and the godliness would be absorbed in it.
We would be absorbed into the godliness.
Okay, but okay, got it. Okay,
I think the rays of the sun's a good example. If the sun were bigger, the rays would still be in it.
The word revelation usually imply or can imply under.
We always think it's a good thing.
Coming to understanding, and that doesn't work.
No,
that doesn't work because that doesn't.
What would be if the sun were revealed? You would burn up. If it wasn't protected by the atmosphere. You would burn up.
Correct. We would be gone. Yeah.
This is for us to have a reality that we perceive.
There has to be the containment of
even if we don't perceive,
for us to exist in order to limit three dimensions.
Because the floor has no cognizance of its existence, you know, that we're aware of.
Right.
You know, but yet we perceive it as there. So it's not a revelation on an intellectual
level. Right, it's the name of Elohim that allows us to be aware of only three dimensions. Mm. Okay, even though physicists at this point are saying that there are 10 dimensions.
Right, yeah. Some say 26.
Okay, I haven't seen that one yet.
It's more of the five string theories.
Okay, so they're all, where are they? They're all tucked into the three.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. You know, because we can only see.
Right.
Yeah, we can only see the three.
Right.
Okay, so what would happen if you could see the other seven? Things would no longer be limited to length, breadth, and width.
Right.
You know, in which case things would no longer have the existence that we perceive them to have. So if you want to tell me now that this table that we're sitting at has 10 dimensions, so okay, good, well, and fine. But I would not be able to view it as a table, as I have the concept of table, if I could see all 10 dimensions that were contained in it.
Right.
Okay? Right. So in order for things to exist in a way and function the way they were supposed to function in this world, there has to be this containment of the Elikus. Okay? Now, it doesn't say, the word Helen Vehester doesn't mean block. Block is another word.
Yeah.
I should put this hot water up again.
Okay. Block is a whole different thing. The Elikus is not blocked. It's not allowed to reveal itself full force.
Right, it's still there. There's no such thing as blocking.
Where is the Elikus? It's like I asked the question, where's Olam Atzilus? Where is the world of emanation? It's right here. You're in it.
We're living it.
It's not out there.
Right.
But it's contained within Atzilus.
Right.
In Asiya, in our physical world, is the Atzilus.
The whole thing is here.
The whole deal.
This is the whole thing.
Yeah, the godliness is not out there. Yeah, it's all contained. And all that's happening is, by the name of Elohim, is that it makes it such that things can suddenly appear. And the example we gave, I don't know, maybe last time, maybe the time before that, was if we turned 50,000 watts of electricity on in this room, what would you see?
Nothing.
You would see nothing. Now, if we kept the 50,000 watts of electricity on, and you were given a welder's mask, you would be able to see. Is the 50,000 watts of electricity been blocked? No. It's still there.
You don't see it unless it blows. But
you don't
burn
see
something.
It. Yeah. I mean,
right,
you know,
right, where we're at. Yeah.
It's still there. So the Elikus is still there. It's just that we're, for all intents and purposes, wearing welder's goggles.
Right. We have no perception.
We cannot see what's there.
It's the same thing, like any frequency of light that we can't perceive, or any frequency of hearing that we can't
correct. Perceive. And it's done for a reason, similar to the fact why our perception, our physical perception, is so bad. I'm talking about our senses.
Yeah, right. Even a dog's.
Yeah, our senses. Because what happens is that it would just get in the way. Right now, in this room, take my word for it right now, but there is a clock which is ticking very loudly. But until just a second, you didn't hear it.
Right.
Because you weren't focused on it. Your brain has the ability of filtering out all of that that junk noise over there that you're not interested in, and focusing only on the stuff that you are interested in. So your eyes and brain, we're talking about working through the otic nerve, so it's only able to perceive that which is relevant to it. So what's relevant to us, our brains, is only three dimensions. If we really had a good ability to do this, we could take this a step further. There's a famous story involving Nachum of Chernobyl, who I believe, I'm not mistaken, was a mechutin with the Mittler Rebbe. I don't quote me on it. And those people who are listening online, if you know, send me a letter. Anyway, so he was sitting and eating breakfast, and he asked for a glass of milk.
Right.
Okay? A while goes by, and he said, I thought I asked somebody for a glass of milk. Can I get a glass of milk over here? And they said, it's right in front of you. And he said, I don't see it. He says, what are you talking about? I don't see a glass of milk. He said, it's right there in front. He says, I don't see it. Somebody walks in, wait. There was a problem with the milk. The guy started the milking before the Yisrael got there. So technically, the expression Chalav Yisrael, which is translated Jewish milk, is only actually part of the phrase. We do that to simplify things. Actually, what it's called is Chalav She'ein Yisrael Roya. Because it doesn't have to be Jewish milk. It doesn't have to be owned by a Jew.
Just watched.
It just has to be watched.
Correct.
By a Jew.
Right.
So the word that is not seen, so the expression is milk that a Jew hasn't seen. Right. So when Nachum of Chernobyl, his eyes were such that this was milk that his eyes couldn't see.
Right. Okay.
Wow.
Okay? Because his brain didn't pick up on it, it wasn't relevant to his brain.
Right.
So his eyes didn't pick it up. Same type of thing with the Alter Rebbe not eating not kosher food.
Right.
Is he just? It's not food. I can't eat it. It's not food.
Hmm.
Okay. We can. In other words, our brains only relate to that which is relevant to us.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is why explains the reason why there's a famous story which I quoted before, where Rashi was so pained when he saw a woman riding a horse. What do you call it? English style, not side saddle.
Right.
He could see the outline of her legs, and was just so completely disturbed that his brain had to be part of that, and it bothered him for many years until he wrote his commentary on Shmos, and he described the apron, the ephod of the Kohen Gadol, the ephod, of the Kohen Gadol, as looking like these aprons that these French women wear. So how is he going to write about it to describe what it looks like if he never saw one?
Correct.
Okay? So, but it's not, if it's not something which you have any, which is relevant to you, you're not going to see it. Just like the ticking of the clock is not relevant to you, so your brain shuts it off. You can do that with basically all of your senses.
Yeah. Right.
You got it? I'll move the recorder now for everybody over next to the clock so they can hear it ticking. So when there's no one in here, and
it sounds like a hammer.
It's deafening. So the Shem Elokim makes it such that the godliness that we perceive is only the godliness which we need to perceive. Yeah. All the rest of that godliness, it's there. But we don't need to worry about it. It'll just confuse us. It'll just make things worse. What would happen if suddenly we were to perceive the world of Atzilus? Mm. You'd be part of Atzilus. How's this Atzilus defined? As Ihu v'chayehu chad, Ihu v'garneu. It's a world of unity. Everything's united with Hashem.
We couldn't exist in it, could we?
Bingo!
We can barely exist in Atzilus.
And what did we say? Where did we say Atzilus is? Right here!
Right.
And yet, so you don't see it, so what? It's because it's not relevant for your existence.
But that's the whole advantage of learning Torah. That's why Hashem so wants us to learn Torah, because as we raise our perception and understanding, our ability to perceive godliness is increased.
But you're never going to get to it.
No, of course not.
You're never going to get there from here.
I'm not going to get my own bootstraps.
Kedushin at Mosaf or Shabbos. If you've had Kavana, you can get to higher and higher levels.
Your Neshama's doing that regardless, because your Neshama doesn't need your perception.
Yeah.
Neshama has its own perception, its own awareness.
That's why I don't really get to see.
So, like when he talks about the Shabbos Chazan, everybody gets to see the third base of Mikdash. Right. Some people see it close, some people see it afar, but everybody gets to see it. Mm. Okay, when was the last time you remember seeing on Shabbos Chazan seeing the third base of Mikdash? How many years has it been shown to you? Many. And nope. Not even from far. It says some people see it close, and some people see it from far.
How far away is far?
How far is far?
How far away is far?
Yeah, more than 16 miles is below the horizon at that point,
Exactly.
Yeah. So, here it is,
I'm on the other side of the globe.
So, this is what the Shem Elohim is doing.
Yeah.
Without the Shem Elohim, we don't have the benefit of Shem Havaya either. That's why we're saying it's all one thing.
Right.
Let us continue. Fourth line. Even though up till now we've been saying that Hashem Havaya is kindness and Elohim is Gevura, but now he's saying, this is how he's proving the point that I want to say Hashem Echad. The tzimtzum is an expression of kindness.
Absolutely.
Even though, what's it doing? It's being magbir.
Yes.
There's gvura going on, but the holding back is an expression of giving.
Of kindness. Absolutely.
Because if you don't have the holding back, you got too much godliness over there. That's going to be kindness, which is going to be expressed as gevura.
Right.
It's just too much. So we need to have the holding back, the containment. As it says, chasid sha'el mivanavay, the kindness of which the world is built on. Vizuhi b'chinas gevura hakalula b'chasid. We refer to this as an incorporation of severity and kindness. Meaning, you can't say chesed and gevura simultaneously as one word. It's a physical impossibility. We don't do that.
But we can live it.
We are living it.
Exactly.
Hashem can say chesed and gevura simultaneously.
Exactly.
And what you wind up with is, depending on what the intention is an expression of chesed which has been limited. Mm-hmm. And that then is what Shem Elohim is doing. That's how we say. It says in the start of this whole thing off, Pasuk Eliyahu, that Hashem and His life, or His light, is one, and Hashem and His effects is also one. Now it goes to it doesn't say that Hashem and His light and His effects are one. It says Iyuv v'chayehu chad is one thing, him and Hashem and his life, and Iyuv v'gaymehu chad, he and his effects are one. That's how we describe the world of Atzilus. How do you know if you're in Atzilus? I got news for you. Don't look at your GPS. look to see if you've been incorporated into Eloquus. And if you have been, then you kind of can guess you're in Eloquus at that point.
My guess is you don't need the GPS.
You're not going back to the sea.
You're not getting anywhere anywhere close to a sea. You're not getting. Okay. So the
Garmin doesn't go there.
Yeah, nor Google Maps.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So, there's a big thing. I still always like to follow what's going on in Australia, but Google Maps has some kind of, I don't remember which town it was, but if you plotted in this town, which I think is located in northern Victoria, which is kind of a ways out, it would send you into the middle of the desert.
Oh, yeah?
And the Simpson Desert is huge. It's like, you know, to an area, I would say, this is, you are now reaching your destination. You are now 15 hours drive from water. You know, this is like serious business.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, so
you're not, drive run for you.
Yeah, you're not getting there from here. But the whole thing here is, the point that he wants to make is that you have this intercorporation or this incorporation of both of these things happening, such that Hashem and the Yivgar Meuchad, okay, that Hashem and his effects are one. We see the limitation and we perceive, we understand that this limited entity can only be and must be an expression of Elokus. That's what's called Shar Yichud and Amuna. Okay, because if you're asking me, the table looks like a table.
Right.
What am I asked now to believe? That the table is an actuality, an expression of the infiniteness of Hashem in a very contained way. And we've been saying all along, this has been what I've been saying, but drumming this in already from chapter 39, that even though there's a Tzimtzum process, there's this contraction containment going on, the infiniteness maintains its integrity. The Elokus remains Elokus. And you can put it through whatever process you're going through, whether you're going through a Seder Yistalshalos, you're going through a Yesh Ma'ayin, the Elokus maintains its integrity.
Right.
And the infiniteness of Hashem remains infinite. And we get to perceive a little bit so that we can exist, because Hashem doesn't want us to exist as incorporated entities into his essence. That's not the purpose of creation. The whole purpose of creation is to make an olam, meaning the world, the word from hela, meaning concealment. The godliness should be concealed so that we don't see it, that a person could go their whole life without even thinking about that there is a Hashem one time in their whole entire lifetime. And to create such a sphere of existence and put us air and say, okay, find me.
Yeah. Good luck.
Okay? So yes, we have been enlisted, kicking and screaming, into a supernal game of hide and seek.
Yes.
And you know what? You can't opt out. You can't say, I'm not playing this around. Because it'll be fine. Just come back the next time. He'll be back.
You'll play.
You know? And Hashem has a way of...
Trust me, you'll play.
Hashem has ways of getting people to play the game.
Yeah. You'll play.
At some point, someone's going to say, yeah, you know, I guess there is a God.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Yep. So.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I'm reminded in the... there was an election... two elections ago in Israel. I believe it was Shimon Peres versus Netanyahu. The first Netanyahu. The first time Netanyahu won.
That was 94.
Where was it? 96. I think it was the first time. Okay, the polls... Netanyahu was heavy favorite.
We won a big cash at Shul when he won.
Netanyahu was...
We were really happy.
Netanyahu was heavy in the polls.
Yeah.
And then the exit polls showed, the early printings showing that Shimon Peres was like leading by a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
That was the early results.
Mm-hmm.
the absentee ballots and this thing, the guys from overseas that voted in, and they kind of, Shimon Peres was like, you know, way out ahead. Okay? So they, you know, so this communist who was like involved heavily with the Labor Party, Shimon Peres' right hand something or another, got up and said, oh, yesh sham elaka. This guy's a communist. And he said, he came to the conclusion, oh, there must be a God. Okay? And when the rest of the polls were counted and Netanyahu was declared the winner, did he suddenly say, no, it's not true, I take it back. No. He showed himself that even as him, this linker like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
This guy was so communist, his hair was red. Okay? So, the... that he proclaimed, yesh hamelaka. Uh-huh. There's a God. Okay? That's, you know, when that happened, Hashem must have said, yes.
Yep.
He no even kidding. Even he found me.
Yeah, that's no a sense of humor. Kidding.
Indeed. Okay?
Yeah.
God, we know, has a sense of humor. Otherwise, he wouldn't allow NASCAR to exist. Okay. Lachain. Yes, all you rednecks listening on tape.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, you gotta, that's why there's Arkansas. You gotta put them somewhere.
Yeah. Lachain haim is yachedis zubazu. Thanks, Tex. Anyway.
Indeed, yes.
Therefore, they are united one with the other, kalula zumazu, and they are cooperation one with the other. Kamaimer Eliyahu is Eliyahu says, onto the kashalon and meyuchadlon. You connect them and you unite them. That all of the, there are 10 spheres. And Zehra Bahir quotes, Eser spheres b'li ma ve'ein lehem mohus. Ve'ein lehem mitzias, I don't remember what this is. They're 10, but you can't define them.
Mm.
Okay, but there are 10 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so as he says, why? Because the fact that they are undefined means that they're totally united. There is such an intertwining, interweaving, an intercorporation of the 10 spheres of Atzilus, it's like there's basically one thing there. But there are 10 of them. There's 10 of these things that are one. Ubar minach leis yechuda bi'ilah. And besides from you, there's no unity above. Meaning referring to Hashem. How so? Because, we have before, you have a zillion times, the Altarebbe quotes the Pasuk, kulam b'chachma sisa. You made everything with wisdom. That what's chachma for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Chachma is like an action. And how is that? Is because Hashem is so far removed from the Olam Atzilus, as the Alter Rebbe says, such that Atzilus itself seems like an action, that Kulam B'Chachma Asisa, but Hashem is totally and completely united with them.
That's so hard
to be conveyed with them. Yeah, think about that.
Well,
one.
I thought Atzilus was a place where Hashem is revealed. Hashem. There's no place
what's revealed?
Where Shem isn't revealed.
As long as you have the word Olam means concealed.
Right.
So you're not getting full force godliness, even right. though it's united, it's called the Olam HaYichud.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, the only thing that exists in Atzilus is as far as a Metzius, of what's in Atzilus is only Elokus.
But there's a
Metzius. It is a Metzius, and the Mahus of the Elikus is removed from it.
Yeah.
In other words, there's really no difference in any of the godliness in Atzilus whatsoever.
But there's nothing there to perceive it. That's
it
what's
proceeds
throwing me off.
It precedes itself. Precedes yeah. itself.
Essos.
The ten spheres perceive their own existence.
That's what's blowing my mind.
Yeah,
okay, because when you're thinking it's not human, it doesn't have an intellect. Okay, no, what does what has more intellect than Atzilus? It's got a Chabad of Atzilus. Well,
I know.
Could you get more intellectual than that?
Right.
There's no high level Malchus. There's no Malachi.
It's all up there.
It hasn't been defined as
all yet. Up there. No, before Atzilus is undefined. That's right. Exactly it. Right. Atzilus is where it's first defined.
It's so.
Okay. This is what he now said. He asked this question in chapter 1. He says, you should know this day and put it to their heart that in the heavens above and the earth below there's nothing else. Mm-hmm. And he asked the question, what's v'hashi v'isa lo v'vecha? Are you ever going to think that there's another God someplace hiding around? Or that there's two gods? You're never going to think such a thing. That was the original question from chapter 1. So he says, now I'll understand the answer. Ki avayu elokim. Because it doesn't look like Havaya Elokim.
Yeah.
That's why it has to be V'hashi V'isa Lo V'vecha. You have to understand, you have to comprehend that it can't be any other way. It has to be that Hashem Hu Elokim.
It's impossible to be another way.
And it's impossible because that's the way Hashem set it up. And now, since it is, it doesn't look that way. That's why he uses the expression, Hashem V'isa Lo V'vecha. Yeah, sit down and think about this. This is not just going to, you're not going to be born knowing this or realizing this. Not anybody sitting at this table, I don't think.
Not a chance.
Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Pirush Shnei Shemus Elohim Echad Mamish. That these two names, they're performing two separate functions, are in essence one thing. Not even in essence, in the revealed way, the way they were revealed, is actually one thing. Shagam Shem Elokim Hamitzamsim Omailim Ho Or Hu Bavuchinis Chesed. That even Shem Elokim, which we translated before as an expression of Gevurah, and how does it work? It works by contracting and hiding the light. I got news for you. It's also Chesed.
Yes,
it's also kindness.
It's absolutely, yeah.
Kimei Shem Havaya. Mishim Shemidosu Shalakodesh Baruch Hu Miyuchedes Imo B'Yichud Gomer. Because the attributes of Hashem are united with Him in an ultimate unity. Such that so if Hashem needs to have the Chesed expressed in a Gevuradika way, so it will be expressed that way, and it will be an expression of Chesed.
Right.
So the containment, the concealment that's allowing us to suddenly pop into existence is not an expression of gevura, it's an expression of kindness. Yeah. That Hashem is teva hatev lehetiv. Hashem has a nature of good is to do good.
Yes.
And so Hashem, out of His goodness, says, yeah, let's give him some slack. We'll keep him around for, you know, how many decades that they'll be here. Mm-hmm. As it says that Hashem and His name is one, and each name refers to a specific function. Just as we said this a zillion times also, that just as it is that you have several names and titles, and the way that they are used is depending on the individual who is using them. Okay, so the person who calls you Dad is different than the person who calls you Honey, who's a different person who calls you Mr. Wit.
Of course.
Okay. But they're all the same person.
Yes, they are.
But it's all three different functions, three different relationships.
Right.
Okay, if your kid would call you Mr. Witt, you're thinking, okay, what does the kid want?
What's going on now? Yeah.
What does he want? Okay. Likewise, if one of your coworkers called you Dad,
yeah,
that'd be okay. Yeah, what's wrong with this guy?
Exactly.
Okay, unless he was wanting to call you like Gramps, hey Gramps.
Yeah.
In which case you could wrap a wrench around his neck.
Yeah,
yes.
Like that.
That's rock and roll.
Yeah. I'll show you who's Gramps. Yes. So they're all, but it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So im kame mele teda. So therefore you know. This is what you know, that in the earth above, it's going to come out that in the earth above and the heaven above and the earth below, ain't there's nothing else besides him. Pirish shagam haaretz hachurmi shenira yesh gamer la'ein kol. Meaning said that even this physical world that looks like, according to everybody, that looks like something. Okay, you will not find a person alive in this world, all 7 billion people, plus you know, another 3 or 4 billion people who have ever lived. Does this world not exist? No one's going to be able to say that. No, of course it doesn't exist. Everybody say, oh yeah, this world exists.
Of course it does. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. It appears as a something. It's considered like nothing as far as Hashem is concerned. Okay, looking from Hashem's perspective, What has Hashem done is Hashem has incorporated all of the faculties necessary for the making of a world.
He's expressed himself.
So that we can be able to exist, but hasn't changed a thing. Because it says, Ani Hashem lo shenisi. I Hashem don't change.
That's an expression.
Okay? So according from this, nothing exists. I tell people, think about this, but not when you're driving, because you're going to come to the conclusion that the tree in front of you that your car is heading towards doesn't exist also.
Right.
And, you know, so.
But you also don't exist equally, so it's going to
hurt. I don't exist the same amount, and therefore it's going to hurt my head.
We're going to make a mess, yeah.
Although I never understood. Why is it? Actually, I do understand. It was explained to me way back when in 11th grade chem class. Mm. The teacher explaining that if the nucleus was the end of a pen point,
right,
the electron would be flying out somewhere around Livonia,
right.
Mm. So it means that there's a lot of space in an atom.
A lot of empty space.
A lot of space there.
It was the beach ball example.
I assume it's empty.
Nucleus like a beach ball. The electron's the size of a period of set in a book, and it's in China.
Okay.
You know, right. There really is. Right. The world's made up of almost nothing.
Right. If that be the case, then so how come I can't pass through solid matter like Superman did in 1949 through that 6-foot thick
strong force
cement wall?
Right.
Okay? Because there's stuff that's keeping it so that it doesn't.
That's nature.
Thank you.
It's the strong. That's what they describe the strong.
Yeah, the strong forces.
Right.
Okay.
The nuclear force.
All those attractions, yes. Which works out well because you know otherwise I'd be passing through stuff, might get something clogged inside.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to know about that.
You know, go through a wall and find out there's a piece of cement still in my stomach. Or attached to my forehead.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Don't need it. Yeah.
But it does shed a little light, or it gives you what to think about when, what was it, the Alter Rebbe, was it Reb Zusia?
Yeah.
That they had the discussion about whether or not to pass through the wall when they were in a crowded room.
Mm-hmm.
And the Alter Rebbe said, we don't do that.
Right.
Yeah. He didn't say we can't do that, it says we don't.
We don't do that, yeah.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Expression
of bottle.
Yeah, ain a pure shigama aris hachurmi shiniri yesh gamala ain kol who ayin ve'ef is mamash legavi kodesh baruch hu, that this physical world, which appears to be a something, you know, to everybody, compared to Hashem, is absolutely nothing. Kishem alakim ain ma'ilum is tamsim elatachtanim. What's the whole purpose of the tzimtzum and the creation process? The name, the function of Shem alakim is for us terrestrials. And not as far as Hashem is concerned. There is a rule, and we know Hashem follows the rule since He made them. Ein etzim mastir al atzmai. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's Simon Tzadik Base in Orach Chaim. It's a Hilchas Tefillah. It says that over there, it says that you have to cover your head when you're davening. Okay, that would mean even those religious Jews who do not cover their head, based on religious principle, like Sephardim, for example, never accepted upon themselves, certain groups of Sephardim, never accepted upon themselves the custom of wearing a yarmulke.
Okay.
So they walk around without a yarmulke, with bareheaded. When they daven, they put something on their head. Yeah. Because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to daven with your head covered as an expression of hachna, of subjugation.
Right.
Okay. So then the expression is, it says over there, it says you can't stick your hand on top of your head and said my right. and say my hand is covered.
Yeah.
Why? I can't see the top of your head. It's got your hand on it. It's covered as far as I'm concerned. That's not called covered. It has to be a separate entity.
Right.
Your hand's part of you.
Okay. So
someone else's hand can do it.
Someone else's hand can. Yeah. Your sleeve could.
Sleeve could, yeah.
But your hand can't. So, therefore, what is it that's covering over the name of the function of Shem Avaya? It's Elohim.
Yeah, he's not limited by
it's
the
Elohim.
Fact. Yeah, exactly.
So wait a minute, you can't cover yourself with yourself.
Yeah,
it doesn't work. It's not called covering. Just like I can't cover myself, my hand. Take my hand and put it on top of my head and say, Davin Shemayna Esrei.
So all you did was prove it's not a covering.
Because it's not a covering.
It's a revelation.
Correct. So therefore, Shem Elohim is not covering either, because you right. can't cover with it's the cover.
Correct.
You can't cover with the thing itself.
It's a revelation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't explain that to someone else.
Think about it.
I'm thinking about it. That's, I
think about it more. The Tzimtzum is only for us. It wasn't for Hashem. There, because Hashem and His name are all one thing. It's just a simple function. That's why we can't even ascribe to them the being of the world to say that it's even oid. Something else.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. There's not even a something that we could say, oh, this is, you got Hashem, you got Elohim, and there's oid. No, there's nothing else. Shehu lashon tufel, k'maimer Yehuda loid lekra. Ukeguf shehu tufel l'neshama v'chaya shebetoichai. Like an expression with the word used, word oid, so there's a Gemara expression concerning various expressions of getting married. And it's discussed in the beginning of Masechta Kedushin. And so it says that in Yehuda, they use this word to mean, instead of saying Hariyat Mekudeshes Li, they use this word to say Hariyat Mekudeshes Li. And then it says in a verse also, the same word meaning to get married. So we have rules of exegesis and Gemara learning. The very best way to prove anything is to quote a direct Chumash, a pasuk from Chumash.
Right.
Like in this instance. Okay. But so therefore, what are you telling me that in Yehuda they use this term to get married, and there is a pasuk? What are the Yehuda for? Yehuda at that point is the fifth wheel. Once I have that pasuk to quote, then we're good.
Yeah, right, okay.
Okay, so when we say this world is ein oid, it's not even an oid. It's not even something which is secondary, a tafel, a butler.
Right.
It doesn't, as far as the Shem is concerned, there is no world. Not that there's a world in this. Oh, look at Hashem. Oh, look at my little world over there. How nice. Oh, very cute.
No,
okay. No. The world doesn't even exist as far as Hashem is concerned.
Right.
Because all there is Elokus. We'll stop at the end of the parenthesis. V'zeh ahalala Hashem b'chaya zamra l'kai ba'odi. This is what it means when it says, I praise Hashem with my life, which means my soul, and I will sing to Hashem with my oidi, with my addition, meaning my body. Because the neshama gets its chayas from Shem Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and the body, being a container, gets its life from Elohim. Anything which is called container is going to be enlivened by Elohim. Anything which is called neshama, soul, a life, is going to get its chayas from Shem Havai. Any questions? To be continued.
No.
Okay.
Lots.